time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Hey, welcome Insight this gorgeous Wednesday night. I welcome into studio Rocker Bonvillain.
Hello, Jack. How you doing?
Rocker, I missed you.
Well, I like to hear that. Yeah. Sounds good.
I was really hoping that you could have been here last week, but I know that you were dealing with some family issues.
I'd much rather have been here, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I'm really sorry about your brother.
Thank you.
And Ms. Neil Spencer.
Hi, Jack.
And kind of manning the board, Mr. Chuck Rohr.
Hi, Jack.
Charles.
Chuck's back in the house.
And with us this evening from the Mercer County Board of Election is Miss Deb Snedden and Miss Christy Rabel. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
So, as you guys may be able to hear, Christy and Deb are calling from the comfort of their offices, right?
Correct. That's right.
So, we're seeing how we do it, this whole technology thing. So,
Chuck's here. It's going to go fine.
That's right. So you ladies are kind of sliding into your busy season, I am guessing.
We are. We're getting ready to put the hammer down here pretty quick. And we'll keep on going probably through the end of November.
So, Deb, how long have you been with the Mercer County Board of Elections?
Since 2008. So, going on 12 years.
So, and Christy?
I've been here since March 25th of this year.
Well, you're a rookie then.
You could say that.
Yeah. So has Deb kind of, you know, given you fair warning as far as what to look forward to here in the next 90 days?
Well, I think if Deb had a better clue, she could have done that. But this has been crazy.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? So, well, I tell you what. Deb, could like you explain the difference between, okay, so we're going into a presidential election that might be the neatest that we've ever been through. So how is this different than your typical 2019 election? What is different from a Board of Elections standpoint?
Well, every presidential election, I think everybody likes to say, this is the biggest election of our lifetime. This is our biggest election. So from 2016 until 2020, we're preparing for 2020. And everything that we do is in preparation. You know, our diagrams, how we lay out the polls, how we pack the truck, just whatever we can put in place and make good, solid plans. And now it's 2020, and everything that we had planned really doesn't work right now. So we got thrown a lot of curveballs, and you know, we catch a few and we miss a few, and we're there's just a lot going on at one time to make this election happen. Yeah. It's not as easy as, say, something that we can just roll our plan out there and everything's going to work just fine. So a lot of adaptations being made.
I don't doubt that at all. So I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about mail-in ballots and registration and what people have to kind of prepare for as we enter the fall of 2020. So we'll be back right after this.
Hey,
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu. Spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items or give us a call to get them to go.
At Cooper Farms, we know we would not be where we are today without the hard work and dedication from our team members for the last 80 years. That's why we partnered with Activate Healthcare and made their health and well-being our top priority. All team members enrolled in the Cooper Farms Health Insurance Plan have access to our three Activate Health Center locations. There are no co-pays, free lab work, and many prescriptions are free. To take advantage of this, as well as other great benefits, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Now you can mow like the pros with a Simplicity zero-turn mower. These mowers have all the features professionals demand. Durability, heavy-duty construction, and of course, a perfect cut. Simplicity zero-turn mowers with their exclusive suspension system let you mow more lawn in less time, and you'll have fun doing it, because these mowers are unlike any you've ever used. So stop by K&L Tractor and discover the secret to a professionally manicured lawn. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Be sure to tune in to Fort Recovery Radio every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for a new show, A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. He'll give us some expert advice and timely tips on what we need to do to keep our lawns and gardens healthy. You can email him questions for future shows at steve@naturesgreennursery.com. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning for A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, 8 a.m. on Fort Recovery Radio.
Thanks, Jack Stogler, Rocker Bonville, and Deb Snedden, and Christy Rabel. So, okay, so let's start with the mail-in ballots, okay? Is everybody going to get a mail-in ballot?
Only if they submit an application.
Okay, so you have to apply for a mail-in ballot. So there's no mass mailings of mail-in ballots.
Nope, nope, nope. And that's where a lot of people get confused.
Well, there are in some states, I believe, and I think that's where people get confused.
Right. In some states, they do have all mail elections where every registered voter is automatically sent a ballot. And it's actually working quite well if you follow what's happening. Denver has been a leader in mail-in voting. Oregon, Hawaii, I'm not sure which other states, but I've read a little bit about it, and I actually think it's a good idea. But we're not going to get into that right now, because I don't think Ohio is anywhere near ready to go for an all-mail election. So currently, you have to submit an application that gets verified to make sure that it is you. One way it gets confusing is that organizations like voter participation groups, you know, maybe the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, will send out applications to voters, which they have done for this year, and people will fill out that application and sign it, put their birth date and their Social Security number on there, and they'll send it in. And then you have the state that, starting this week, he also, Frank LaRose, Secretary of State, got permission from the budget controlling board to be allowed to send absentee applications to every voter. And they do that. They have been doing that since 2012 in every even year general election. So that's exactly when the people at the state are on the ballot. So that's probably why they send those applications out in those years. That serves to confuse voters, because say in 2019 or next year in 2021, you're not going to get an application. You have to, or in the primary either. So that was, you know, a bit confusing when we went to an all-mail election and suddenly you had to fill out the application and get it here and then allow time for it to come back in the mail. But now what we're going to see is some people submitting two and three applications, because they get one, they're not sure that the first one's been accepted, or I'm not sure why, but sometimes we'll get two or three duplicates of the same registration. And I guess the point I would like to make is that it's really only necessary to send in one application. You can track that application to make sure, you know, like right now we've received a couple thousand, I don't even sure the exact number, but you can go online and look and see, like, yep, that application has been received. And then people think since this started happening, oh, back in August already, that their ballot should be coming. Well, the ballot isn't even approved yet. We just got the final directive on it today, and our board meets tomorrow. And the first day for early voting is October 6th. So if you have submitted an application, your ballot won't be mailed until October 6th.
Okay, so if, like, I've got an absentee ballot, okay, what is the process? Okay, so I've got this ballot at home. What's keeping me from sending that ballot in and yet still going up to the poll and voting?
Well, number one, we know that you have a ballot. You can submit application, but we're only ever going to send you one ballot. If you call back and say, I didn't get my ballot, you know, that's another story. We're going to have to look into that. But you're marked in our system then as having received an absentee ballot. Whether or not you return it doesn't really matter, because when we prepare the poll books or the backup plan for Election Day, which is a paper copy of everything, you're listed as having requested a ballot already. So you're going to vote provisionally, which means it's not going to be counted on Election Day. It will be counted in with the official canvass that happens about 15 days after the election, which gives us time to check and make sure, was Neil registered? Did he return that absentee ballot? No. Okay, then his ballot counts. Did he return the absentee ballot? Yes, then his provisional. The board actually votes on those. It's a bipartisan board, two Republicans, two Democrats, and Christy and I will present all of those ballots with the reason why they were voted provisional, and the board will vote on whether those get accepted or not. So we know if you have a ballot.
Okay. So we had touched a bit previously about what it takes on the day of the election from a poll worker standpoint. And, Christy, could, like, you share as far as how many people would be required to, you know, work the polls and, you know, how many volunteers do you need on that day?
To have four workers per precinct, we need around 144 workers.
Okay, so I'm doing my math here. So that's 36 precincts.
Right.
That was good, wasn't it?
Was good.
Okay, and then, so with the increase in the mail-in ballots, does that change the number of people that you will have? I mean, okay, so I mailed the ballot in to the Mercer County Board of Elections. What do you guys do with it?
Okay, so when we receive it, it goes through. You have to open all the envelopes to take out the envelope with your ballot in it, because there's two envelopes deep. And then they get scanned into our system so they can be checked, their birth dates and signatures and your ID to make sure everything matches, that you were who sent that in. And then they go, and the envelopes have to be opened again so the ballots can come out, and turn them all upside down. You pull the ballots out, tear the stubs off so they can be scanned. So we'll have a crew in here working with us to help process all that.
So will that take more volunteers than what you would normally have? And I'll ask that for Deb, since she's got a couple years experience down there. Deb, is this going to take more workers?
It's a different type of work, and that all happens ahead of the election. You know, so we can't begin to open those ballots until the 19th day before the election. So we will be, our plan is to start the week of the September 14th. Once this ballot gets proofed tomorrow by the board and everything gets sent off and we prepare for the printing of the ballots, that we can start printing some of those applications that we have already received. And I'm suspecting we're going to have a couple thousand that are going to go out on October the 6th. And then during the primary, there was four of us that were working in here, and we were able to put out about 500 a day. So that's kind of what we're planning on for November as well. It's kind of hard to tell, you know, everything's kind of in flux this year because I'm not sure. Are people going to come and vote by mail? Is that going to increase? I guess we'll see here in a few days because the Secretary of State has sent out the application to every registered voter. And if we start, you know, getting, you know, if we have 15,000 ballots already sent out by the middle of October, you know, that's only going to be a 50% turnout to have on election day, to have 100% turnout for the county. Typically for this type of election, we would have some precincts that would be in the 70-80% range turnout. You know, Mercer County's had a pretty high turnout when it comes to voters. So I think we're going to have to be flexible in our plan and know that between September 14th and October 6th, when the early in-person voting starts, that we can, like I said, put the pedal to the metal and get caught up. You know, on October 6th, I want to have a clean slate of, okay, now today we're going to get in 500 apps and we're going to put 500 ballots out the same day.
One thing the primary did with how it finished was really teach us how to plan for an increased mail election. So we had some good experience there.
Well, good.
Yeah, and we've got some additional equipment too. We now have a automatic letter opener. You know, we can stick a whole stack on there and hit the button, and they're sliced open. There's not even a sliver of paper left there. Where during the primary, we had we did have some board members that came in that would help slice envelopes all day. You know, but that's a lot of slicing, and with this machine, it can save a lot of time, especially over time and years. So looking forward to that as well. And then another thing that happened at the primary, the phone was ringing off the hook because nobody understood the whole application, complete the application, get it certified, then you get your ballot. You know, they'd be like, call and send me a ballot. I can't send you a ballot. I have to send you an application. And, well, I haven't got the application. Okay, so you can go online and get the application. Well, I don't have a computer. I don't have a printer. So hopefully the phone calls will cut down, because there were times during the primary, we have four phone lines here, and we couldn't get anything done except answer the phone all day long.
Yeah. So, well, I tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the timelines as far as when to register, when you have to have your ballots in, and all of this stuff. So we're going to be back right after this with Deb and Christy.
Clingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at clingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you looking for great food? You're looking for Miracle Lanes. Stop in or call them at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Everybody can have what they want, from their great sandwiches and subs to their famous pizza. Stop worrying about what you're going to have for supper. Just call them at Miracle Lanes, now open every day from 11 to 9. 375-4274. It's football again this Friday night as the Indians head to Parkway to take on the Panthers. Jeff and Joe will bring you all the action live, with the pregame show starting around 6:40.
And Parkway also has the NFHS network cameras, so you'll also be able to watch it live, but there won't be any audio with the video, so you'll need to coordinate it with the Fort Recovery Radio broadcast. Be sure to tune in all season and follow our Indians teams right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Going backwards. We're back. Insight. Jack, Rocker, Neil, Chuck, Christy, Deb. Okay, so let's start with the various timelines. Okay. So the date when you can start to register for a mail-in ballot is when?
You wouldn't be registering, you'd be requesting.
Requesting, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay.
So first of all, you have to be registered to vote. And typically, once you register to vote and you vote at least once every 4 years, you'll never be purged from the list. So let's just assume that everybody is already registered to vote. If you have changed your address or changed your name, got married, moved, new to the county from another county, you have until October the 5th. We are going to be here until 9 p.m. that night. We have extended hours for people to update their registration.
And that, early voting starts. What's the date on that on the registration? 30 days
October
before
5th.
30 days before the election.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then it depends. Some years, because that date falls on a Monday, and then it gets moved over to Tuesday. But we are open until 9 p.m. that night. The very next day after registration is closed, early voting will start. In person, early voting will start, and that's when the mail ballots are permitted to be mailed out as well. The last day that you can submit an application to vote by mail is the Saturday at noon before the election. And that's cutting it pretty close because the post office has told us you should expect a week to get your ballot. And just to be cautious, I think, with whatever mail issues that they're having. So they did try in the legislature this year to get the date moved to request an absentee ballot till Tuesday instead of Saturday, but that failed. So the last mail ballots is Saturday before the election at noon. We continue in-person voting on Saturday, that Saturday until 5. We vote again on Sunday, 1 until 5, and on Monday, 8 a.m. until 2 p.m., and that's the last that you can vote in person ahead of the election.
Now, that all takes place at the courthouse? At your
yes.
office?
This year, it typically is in our office, but with social distancing and COVID and just needing a little more space to keep everybody in one room, we're kind of moving down to the auditorium. Everything is going to happen through the auditorium.
Okay, but if you get to the courthouse, it'll be pretty clear where you're
you'll
going.
See, yep. You'll see signs, yeah.
Yep.
So is there any difference? Okay, so we've talked about the mail-in ballots, and we've talked about the absentee ballots. Is there any real difference in the way that those are handled?
Absentee ballots, when you vote in person, you will come in just like you do on election day. You'll present your ID. You'll sign. We'll compare your signature. We'll issue you a card ballot. You'll take it over to the machine, and you'll make your selections, and you'll be able to put it right in the scanner. You cannot actually overvote. You can undervote, but it will tell you, hey, you didn't vote for this judge race. Okay, so then you have an opportunity. Everybody always has an opportunity. If you made a mistake, we can issue up to 3 ballots. So you can go back and say, hey, I messed this one up. Can I have another? And we'll soil and deface it, record it, and then give you another ballot. With the mail ballots, those can't be counted until the 19th day before the election. So all of them that we're getting back from, you know, when we start mailing on October 6th, I suppose a few days after that, we'll start having a mail-in processing station as well, where we have to check in all of these ballots, make sure they're good, sort them and put them in order. But then we can't begin to open those envelopes until the 19th day. When we open the envelopes, we actually turn them upside down with your name and identifying information on them, so we don't know whose ballot that we're opening, and we pull the ballot out of there and remove the stub, and there's no way that I can tell how you voted at that point. and we all take an oath, even if by accident we did see that you didn't put your ballot in the envelope, but everything was in there. I mean, it's okay for us to put it in the envelope and make sure that it's good. But if I see how you voted, I'm not going to tell anybody how you did that. So on 7:30 on election night, when the polls close, the memory sticks from the scanners that you cast your ballots on in person and the one that tabulated all of the votes for the mail ballots will be uploaded at the same time. And they're all included in our absentee results. Probably one thing that we hear way too often is that absentee ballots don't count unless it's close. Well, I'm not sure where that ever came from, because how do we even know it's close? That's just the start of the counting. So absentees are actually the first ones to be counted.
So, let me ask you. You hear so much on the news about voter fraud and how the mail-in process is going to increase voter fraud. Do you think, from your experience or from seeing the system, that it's more likely with more mail-in votes?
From what I've read and understood, that voter fraud is rare. It has happened, but I think every time that it has happened, it's been caught. I mean, there's checks and balances. We know how many ballots we sent out. We know how many ballots we printed. We know how many are there when they come back. We've never had any voter fraud here in Mercer County. A lot of people talk about ballot harvesting, which would be like, okay, I'm going to go around and find all my Democrat friends, and I'm going to make sure that they filled out their ballot, and I'm going to pick it up and bring it and take it to the courthouse for them and make sure it gets there. That's illegal. Only there's certain people who can bring your ballot in, and it's a detailed list, you know, mother, father, stepfather, grandmother. There's a long list of people who are allowed. But I suppose as time goes on, people are going to figure out a way to fraudulently do something. But, you know, the more the system stays the same, probably the more chances there are for fraud. But I do believe we take every precaution to make sure that it doesn't happen. And if it would, we would know.
Let me ask you this real quick, because I heard you say that, and I'm thinking, I've heard about the, you know, the ballot harvesting and stuff, and I didn't realize that. Let's say our senior citizens group, MCCA, whatever, I can't remember the name. If they said, we can come around and get your ballots to make sure they get in. So if somebody walks in with like half a dozen, or that might not be too far off, but let's say 10 or 15 or 30 or 100, what happens?
That would be a red flag.
What happens to those ballots that they have brought in? Do those get...
That would be a red flag. Typically, you know, if someone's bringing in one or two, or, you know, if they're a whole family full of... trying to think of one of your guys' last name, Bonville. A whole family of Bonvillains brings in all of their ballots. I'm probably not going to ask any questions, but if somebody brings in a stack of 30, you know, then that's going to be like, hey, wait a minute, are these your family? And if he would say, yeah, you know, I guess we could verify that. There's really no way for them to stop somebody from dropping those in the drop box, to be honest.
But so it would go to the drop box, but it wouldn't be necessarily brought into your office?
They could bring them to the drop box, and then we would, you know, how would we know? But the drop box is monitored 24/7. There's a camera out there. Mm-hmm. There's a light on there.
But if somebody would bring in, like walk in with 30 and hand them to you, and they're obviously not the same family, what would happen to those ballots?
We would not be able to accept those.
Not any one of them at all, even belonging to the person that brought it or his spouse, or, you know, of course, I guess that, you know, just 2 out of 30 or 50.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I don't know that we ever really had it planned. You know, we've never really had that happen here. So
right. Yeah.
I guess my first thing would be probably call the county prosecutor and be like, okay, what do you want me to do? Are we taking these? Do we look at them and verify them? Or, But yeah, that would be a question I think we would need to ask her higher up. Yeah,
and I would think that that kind of thing isn't really going to happen around here, but I would think that some either people up to shenanigans or up with good hearts trying to help people in bigger cities that don't know all the rules would try to do something good to help people. Let's say like a church, some right. guy says, well, bring them all in on Sunday and I'll take them. You don't have to worry about...
But here's the answer to that. Here's how that's not going to be fraudulent, because when we get that ballot envelope mm-hmm. and inside of there is your ID envelope, which mm-hmm. has your name and address, you have to fill that out with your social security number or your driver's license or some other form of ID. Mm-hmm. You also have to include your birth date, and we verify your signature. So if your signature doesn't match, you're going to get a letter
yeah.
that day that says, hey, you have missing information on your ballot or mismatching information on your envelope. Until you come in and fix it, this ballot will not be counted.
But they can't do that after Election Day. They can't come in and fix it after Election Day?
They can. They can. They actually have 10 days after election to fix it.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yep. Yep.
So I've got a question for Christy. Okay. So how has COVID, due to COVID, how is that going to change the look of the average poll, of the average precinct as people walk in?
Well, there'll be a lot more signage that's directing you how you're supposed to go, stay apart from each other. There will be sanitation teams cleaning everything after each voter's use. All our poll workers will be in masks. It will look different, just like going to Walmart looks different.
So does that, are you going to limit the number of people that can be inside any of the polling places, or has that made you change some of your locations where you have people vote because they weren't big enough, let's say?
It will limit probably the people that can be inside, because the line, you're going to have to stay 6 feet apart. So some people might be waiting outside to get in that line to get in. It all depends on what the poll turnout's going to be. But we're hoping that each location has a flow, that you go in one door and out another door to allow for more people, more space.
So, okay, I'm going to ask each of you this question, okay? What is your biggest fear about Election Day? When you think about, oh my God, that's my worst nightmare, what would it be?
Well, I guess I'll go first. And I think at every election, probably when it gets a little bit closer to the election, you'll wake up in the middle of the night one night and you'll think, oh my gosh, did we forget to put probate juvenile judge on that race? And it's like, oh my God, I can't wait to get into work to see how, what we did on that ballot. Did we totally screw something up? But so far, God willing and knock on wood, nothing catastrophic has happened. In 2020, it feels like I said earlier, we just had a change of all of our plans, and everything's surrounding COVID and sanitation and change in vote by mail. When typically in a presidential year or an even year, there's other things too, which I don't even know if I want to say them out loud because I don't want to give anybody ideas, but we have contingency plans for, snow emergencies and tornadoes and power failures. A lot of I's and a lot of T's get crossed before every election. So,
very good.
I guess my biggest hope is that when it's over, I still have a job.
Well, if it gets all screwed up, nobody's going to want it.
That's true. That's true.
They're going to let you keep dealing with it.
Yeah, probably so.
Christy, what about you?
like Deb said, we have so many plans and so many backup plans, and we sit and go through, what if this happens? What if that happens? What would we do? And I don't know. I think outside forces would have to be fear. I don't know. Killer hornets are back. I don't know. I think as long as we, you know, a few years ago in November, we did have a tornado. Yeah. As long as something like that wouldn't happen and hit in the wrong places, I think we got this.
Very good. Well, tell you what, we're going to take you one more break and come back, and you touch on a couple other things that are voting related, and you maybe touch on exactly what we'll be voting on here in the next couple of months. So we'll be back right after this.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel at Fort Recovery Insurance. Every year, you should review your insurance plans to make sure you have the right protection for your needs. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we'll take you inside our fort to make sure you're paying the right price for the right insurance to protect you. For years, we've been doing just that, and it's time for us to help you too. At Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we've got something for everyone, and we've got something for you too. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Here in Fort Recovery, Wayne Street Market is the place to shop for great deals on great food. If you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, their deli has delicious meal specials every day from open to close. And just listen to these steak prices. Ribeyes, just $6.99 a pound. New York strips, $6.49 a pound. T-bones, only $5.99 a pound. And there's 80% lean ground chuck for $2.99 a pound, loose or patties. And 73% lean ground beef is now only $2.49 a pound in a frozen 10-pound roll. And if you're gearing up for a Labor Day cookout, Eckrich Hot Dogs are on sale, 2 for $3. All kinds of great bargains waiting for you at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. This Sunday afternoon, the museum will present a speaker for the first time this year. It will be at the Cooper Brothers Pavilion at the Pool Park at 3 p.m. and will again feature Joe Beatty of Houston, Texas. Mr. Beatty has spoken several times in the museum speaker series, and this time he will focus on Fort Jefferson, past, present, and future. Along with Mr. Beatty, Dr. David Cox, David Heckman, Bill Light, Greg Shipley, and others will enrich the afternoon with Fort Jefferson artifacts, models, displays, and also by sharing their particular knowledge and research on Fort Jefferson. This free presentation at the Cooper Brothers Pavilion will allow for social distancing, and masks should be worn. Again, our museum will present Joe Beatty talking about Fort Jefferson near Greenville this Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Cooper Brothers Pavilion.
We're back. Insight, Jack, Rocker, Neil, Chuck, Deb, and Christy. And Rocker has his honorary question of the night. Yes.
How does one get taken off the voter rolls?
Well, one way to do it is you can request to be removed by filling out a form or something that would have your name, address where you're registered, identification, birth date, and your signature. That would be sufficient enough for you to be taken off the voter rolls. When people die, we get notification from the Ohio Department of Health. That's an official notification. That's another way that we remove people from the rolls. When people get sent to prison and they are incarcerated and convicted of a felony, their voting rights are taken away. If you are in jail waiting to be sentenced, you still have the right to vote. But once you are incarcerated and convicted, your rights are taken away. But you can come back after you have served your time and get re-registered. Another time you might get removed is if you don't vote for two federal general elections. So let's say you haven't voted in 16 or 18, and now it's 2020. We'll mail you a notice in 2020 that says if you don't vote by the next two federal general elections, your record will be canceled. We also have a process that we go through every year with the post office where the records from that are with the voter registration database are compared with the records at the post office. And it's called NCOA, which stands for National Change of Address. And it kind of depends if you are in another Ohio county or if you are in the same county. If you're in the same county, your address gets updated to that new address automatically. If you are in another county, there's a merge process, you know, so it's a bottoms-up system, but there is one database of every registered voter in the state, and you only have one record. So wherever you are, we're constantly working on people that move through a merge and a duplicate process. But if you don't respond and you don't vote to any of those notices, eventually you will get dropped off of the list. But
any of those sound good to you, Rocker?
No, I always heard if you missed an election, that's why you get taken off.
Now you have to
not
miss
just
more
one.
Than one.
Yeah, you have to miss more than one.
Several.
Okay.
I think that's sort of the details are all different from state to state, but for the most part,
in Ohio,
that's how it is in most of them, that it's pretty much two or three or four federal elections in, I believe, nearly every state, if not every state. It's not like nobody's on and then they're on forever, and nobody's automatically off if they miss an election. I don't think there's any
state. If you're really paying attention to the lawmakers, there are things in the move. You know, people do want to have automatic registration. But this is all part of the Help America Vote Act or the National Voter Registration Act that we're required, and the Secretary of State is actually the one that's required, to keep the voter rolls clean. So that's a process of keeping them clean. And we did just send out, I don't know, about 300 letters, maybe a few more than that, to people that probably don't even live here anymore. We'll probably get a bunch of those back as undeliverable, but saying that if you don't vote in this election, you will be canceled, and you will be canceled.
Yeah. So let's talk about what are we voting on? We know that we've got the presidential part of it. Other than Trump and Biden, are there other people on that ballot?
Whole bunch.
Christy, you can take that one. You got all that information back there, right? I mean, we do have two other candidates that you'll see on the ballot that I know. There's an independent Senate vice president, and there's, is that a libertarian, the other one? Kanye West did not qualify in Ohio, but there are four qualified, and then there's about six different write-ins. And then,
You'll see a Howie Hawkins running with Angela Walker, and Joe Jorgensen running with Spike Cohn. And then there's a space for write-ins, and there's several different write-ins that are good write-ins.
And what other races are on the ballot this year?
U.S. Congress in Mercer County, we do have three districts, the 4th, the 5th, and the 8th. Most of Fort Recovery is in the 8th, but you do it. Washington Township is in the 5th. So the 5th would be Bob Latta against Nick Ribondo. The 8th, there is a write-in candidate there as well, but it's Warren Davidson against Vanessa Enoch. And we do have a small portion of our county in Franklin, where Christy's from. And a little bit in a split of another precinct that's in the 4th district, and that's Jim Jordan, incumbent, against Shannon Freshour. And I think there's a write-in there, too, or an independent or libertarian. Is that Perkins? Where's he at? Is he in that race? Steve Perkins?
I think so.
What else we got?
So are there any county offices that are up for grabs?
Yeah, there's a bunch.
Commissioner. Actually, two different races for commissioner, prosecuting attorney, clerk of the court of common pleas. That's hard.
Yes.
Sheriff, county recorder, county treasurer, county engineer, the coroner.
Lots of stuff. Almost everything in the county then.
Yeah.
The judge of the Court of Common Pleas, probate juvenile.
So lots of reasons.
The only one's not on is one of the commissioners is not on, and the auditor, I believe, is not on.
Now, are most of those running unopposed, or
that's it?
Are there some that are opponents? Are some of those contested?
The only one that has a race is Jerry Lappin. And then we also, can you hear me?
We lost you for a second, but go ahead. We're not hearing Chris.
One race is contested. Oh.
Okay. So, you know, one of the things that we wanted to touch on was the key dates that we, you know, touched on earlier that are probably important for everybody to know. So, we know that we'll be getting the applications here in the mail anytime. And then what are some of those key dates that are important for everybody to remember?
Like as far as getting the applications back to you, when do you have to have them? And once you get those back, when do they have to have the ballot back to you?
The application absolutely has to be back to us by October 31st. But that's not recommended. That doesn't leave you much time to get your ballot back to us. The ballots have to be...
That's the Saturday before the Tuesday election.
That's correct.
Yep, okay.
Okay, the ballots, if you're mailing them, have to be postmarked November 2nd. That's the Monday before the Tuesday election.
They have to be postmarked the day before the election.
That's right.
Okay.
Or your third option is... Your ballot has to be in our drop box outside the courthouse by 7:30 p.m. on election night.
And is that the same time?
So
that
mailing
the polls
early
close?
Is that is the exact same time the poll closes.
Okay.
So those are very important. And I think maybe one more time, let's let them know if you are not registered. When is the final day to register to vote?
October 5th, and we are actually open to 9 p.m. that day.
And that is 4 weeks before the election. That's a Tuesday, correct?
Yes.
Yep.
No, that's a Monday.
It's a Monday, okay.
Yeah.
Another thing that's easy is to go to www.ohiosos.gov. It's voteohio.gov. My apologies. You can register online. You can update online. And hopefully one day you'll be able to request your absentee ballot online as well through that same system. But that didn't happen for this year either.
So, Deb and Christy, are there any other things that you'd like to touch on before you call it a night and you guys can end a very long day today?
We just want everyone to know they can vote by mail. They can vote early, that all the early voting will be here at the courthouse, just like every other election. And their polling location will be open. So they can choose how they want to vote this year, like they could any other year.
Can you touch on, and maybe you guys don't have this right in front of you, where are the polling places in Fort Recovery?
There's only one polling place in Fort Recovery, and that's at the American Legion. Okay. And that's where you go on election day, Tuesday, November the 3rd. Any other day, you'll need to come to the courthouse or to the mailbox. And at 2 o'clock on Monday, voting will end here.
Very good. Anything else, Deb?
Just if you have, pay attention to what's coming in your mail. It's not a ballot that's coming. It's an application that's coming first, so be careful, too. Some of those don't have anything that protects your private information. So you may want to stick that in an envelope, you know, just for good cyber hygiene. You know, you don't really want your social security number floating out there for everybody to see. So stick that in an envelope for your protection. And once you fill one of those out, you don't need to keep filling more of them out. You can go to voteohio.gov and you can track your absentee application. You can track that we have received it. You can track that we've mailed it. And once you send it back, you can track that we have gotten it and it's going to be accepted for counting. So everybody just hang in there. Don't get too excited. And we'll get through all of this.
And if you don't do computers, you can call us and ask those questions, and we'll answer them.
Right. Fantastic. Well, ladies, it is always a pleasure. I always learn a lot anytime you you come on. We look forward to a smooth and successful November 3rd for you guys. So we wish you well.
Thank you. Hopefully
Thank
next
you.
Year we can come over there and drink a beer in person with you.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic.
I have cheese and crackers.
Well,
yeah.
Wait, how about if we have you on the good. How about if we have you on the night after the election, we open about 16 bottles of wine.
Who's driving me home is all I want to know.
Thanks. Thanks, ladies, and we wish you luck on November 3rd.
Thank you
for having us on.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
So we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back with Rocker segment here, and we'll be back right after this.
Forge Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forge, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forge Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forge Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
The Grand Lake chapter of the Alzheimer's Association is presenting the 4th annual Grand Lake Virtual Walk to End Alzheimer's on Saturday, September 19th. To sign up individually or as a team, just Google Grand Lake Walk to End Alzheimer's or go to alz.org/northwestohio/walk and enter your zip code and choose Grand Lake. Then download the Walk to End Alzheimer's mobile app to track your progress while you're on your walk that day. You can walk when and where you want to walk that day, so get signed up now and get your sponsors lined up. The money that's raised goes for research to find a cure and to Alzheimer's support groups. Google Grand Lake Walk to End Alzheimer's or go to alz.org/northwestohio/walk and get signed up now for the 4th annual Grand Lake Virtual Walk to End Alzheimer's that will be held on Saturday, September 19th.
Before we're back, Insight. You know, it is always interesting talking to those ladies. You know, it's a complicated process. So, Rocker, speaking of complicated process, yes. What's going on in that head of yours?
Well, it's that time again, on this day.
On this day.
1864, General Sherman.
First, you should say the date.
Well, that's what I try to do there, sunshine. 1864.
No, the date. That's the year.
Yes. Today's the...
See?
September 2nd.
Okay.
There you go.
I figured people knew what today was. I gave them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
1864 for the third time. General Sherman captures Atlanta and then proceeds to burn it.
That's dumb.
That's a
strip club.
That's a toasty night for Atlanta.
I wonder if a cop killed somebody before that.
Ooh.
Well, that's bad. That's not
good. Doing it now.
1944, another happy date for, well, not in this case. Anne Frank sent to Auschwitz. Not a fun day for her.
No.
Well, these are uplifting.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't send her. 1966. Maybe this will perk you up a little bit.
19 what?
1966.
The Beatles.
That year I was born.
Ernie Banks hits his 400th home run off of Curt Simmons.
That's play two.
Later on in the year, Curt Simmons also served up Willie Mays' 400th home run.
Whoa, that's a good rally.
That poor guy, he took a beating.
Yeah. It's a bad year.
Curt Simmons is a Cardinal?
I don't know. I
think that's
Richard's dad.
That's Ted Simmons.
Archbishop.
Ted was a Cardinal.
Okay. St. Louis Cardinal.
Yes.
Are we ready for the Rocker Top 10 FR Sports Nuts?
Yes.
Nope.
No?
Give us one more of the On This Day in History.
Okay, this one I just kind of threw in. 1931, Bing Crosby makes his radio debut.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
Just for this moment right here.
What's Bing's number one song?
I would say that was probably it.
Not White Christmas. What other one?
Bing?
Did he have any hits?
Oh, yeah. He had, White Cliffs of Dover was one of them. He did several other kinds of movie things. He
The Bells of St. Mary.
Yeah. We're watching a dove and
very want to go.
Wow.
Sir?
The ducks have come to roost.
So, Rocker, what's your...
Wow.
Okay. So, we have our Rocker Top 10 list.
Yes!
Is there, like, an applause button on there, Chuck?
Somewhere.
Chuck's struggling, eh?
Okay, wait, ready? Okay. Now, we have Rocker's Top 10 list.
Rocker's Top 10 FR Sports Nuts. There we go, that's a ticket.
Nuts.
Number 10, Saipa Cutter.
That,
yeah.
If, like, there's nine nuttier than Saipa.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to say.
We have a flock of them.
I didn't hear a peep out of Sai on Friday night.
Some of these are all time, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some dead people in here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great.
Okay. Number 9, Chuck Etzler.
What? What?
Sure.
There's nothing nuts about Chuck.
Well,
I resent that. He's my neighbor.
Kathy Etzler.
It depends on what you mean by nut. If you mean crazy.
Kathy Etzler, please don't call this radio station.
Sports fan, I'd say.
We love you and Chuck.
This is a good thing.
They're one of our most devout listeners.
Yeah.
Rocker's trashening.
No.
So.
Nut.
Go ahead.
Nut.
All right.
Doesn't necessarily mean you're.
Go ahead.
You got side
five. Five listeners.
Yeah.
Number 8. I feel like Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem's a Fort Recovery fan?
He's in that.
No, he's not on the list.
I thought you just named him.
He does top 10 lists. Stay with me.
Oh, I thought you just named him as number 8.
Sow down there, Don Ho. Number 8, Tammy Post.
Damn. All right, Tammy.
Crickets.
Hey, nobody's arguing.
Number 7, a name that probably most of you would say should have been higher. Ricky Ports.
Ricky? Yeah.
Ricky's number 7?
You think he should have been higher?
Well, I'm... I mean,
Ricky Recovery?
Yeah.
Well, when I name the other sets, she might.
All right.
Tough crowd. Number six.
Catching hell here, ain't you?
Dave Neff.
Neffy's a good one.
Neffy's a good one.
God rest his.
I still remember him doing the traveling sign at the. But, yeah. That was a classic.
Channel 35.
That was a classic.
Yeah.
And you two are really going to be thanking me after this one. Number five, Bubba and V.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So are Bubba and V nuts because we're idiots?
But you love Fort Recovery is what I mean.
Okay.
Okay. Wow.
I love you, Rocker.
It's awesome.
That's what I know you agree with me on. Number four.
Now, wait a second. Oh, let's talk about the
We're cutting into Bubba and V time.
We got time. All right. This is kind of sports related.
Okay. Go with it.
Almost.
Okay, what was you going to say, Jack? All right,
go ahead.
Okay, lost the moment there.
Where are we at, four?
Number four.
Five.
We
Bubba and V were five.
Number four, Les Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That's a good one, Rocker.
Thank you. I've had a lot of practice with these. Number three, Don Wellman.
Who? Don Wellman.
Yeah.
What?
Butch?
No, that's not Don. Butch Wellman.
Don
Rick,
Wellman.
Rick Wellman.
No.
It's Butch.
Rich.
Well, used to be Rick, now he's Rich, but he's Butch.
Okay, Butch.
Yeah,
that's what
Butch
I meant.
Wellman.
I thought it was Don.
Don is Rat.
Sorry, Don.
I was going to say, Don lives in Jay County.
Never been in our gym.
Hasn't been to a game since he graduated.
Since he played.
Yeah. He graduated in 78.
Yep.
You're killing me, people.
32 years ago.
42!
Number two. Joe Metzger.
Broadway Joe.
Yeah, Broadway Joe. That's a good one.
Yeah.
See?
The only way that's a good pick
is if number one.
Is if number one's his dad.
Nope, not at all. That's all.
Norb wasn't a big Fort Recovery fan. He's not even in the top 10. He didn't miss a game.
Donnie,
85
Donnie,
years.
This ain't Donnie.
When I name number one, you won't argue with me.
Tim Heitkamp, he's at every.
Here goes.
Even at the baseball games.
Settle down, Don Ho.
Just telling you.
Number one, Carlton Ram Rhodes.
Ram. I haven't seen him at a game. He goes to Indiana games.
He's following him.
I haven't seen Ram Rhodes in a basketball game in 30 years. That's a lie. But.
So we'd like to thank Rocker for his last show. You know what? You've been on hiatus for 6 months. You've been nowhere to be found.
Nobody's seen you.
You've been in a cave for the past 6 months working on your list. And this is what you come up with.
You missed Tim Heitkamp. You missed
Norb Metzger.
Well, I had to take
Norb.
Donnie working. What about me?
Neil.
I had to take Norb off to put you two on.
Take us off.
We're losing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me.
We're giving our spot.
Take these guys off. Okay.
Thank you, Chuck.
So if like it is a. Okay.
We missed a sound effect.
So let's think about the non, you know, like the non-normal that you would think of. Okay, like
for recovery people,
like Norb and Donnie Workham. You know,
okay.
And think about like not just the basketball games.
Yeah,
who would be at the baseball games, at the junior high football games?
Well, Billy Bechtel's got to be.
Billy Bechtel. That was exactly who I was thinking.
Fast Eddie.
Fast Eddie.
Yeah.
So. Rocker, I tell you what.
Did I get fired?
I am in a benevolent mood. You can come back next week.
Yeah. All right.
The bad news is you're laid off for a week.
That's Whoa. Right.
Well, that's unfortunate.
So, this is as close as being on time as I think I've been in a long time. So, stay tuned for Bubba and Fee. Who's Who's the guest tonight, Bobby?
Jeff Hobbs.
Jeff Hobbs, the coach.
Jeff Hobbs, the voice of the Indian voice football. We're going to talk about the Friday game versus Marion Local and the upcoming game versus Parkway. At the bottom of the hour, we have the girls' golf coach, Joe Bruins.
Also,
it will be interesting to pick Joe's and his daughter's playing great, and the girls are undefeated and have a chance at the first girls' MAC title in Fort Curry history.
So, is that a realistic thing to accomplish?
We beat St. Henry.
Oh, we beat St. Henry already.
Wow. Yeah.
Because I figured they'd be the...
Tomorrow's a big one.
Against?
Who we got?
Coldwater.
Coldwater, tough.
Coldwater beat St. Henry, too.
Is that right?
Showdown.
So, well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like a action-packed show on Sports Talk coming up in just a few minutes.
It'll be riveting.
Riveting is the best word for it. Rucker, are you going to...
Who's on tap for next week?
Larry Brown?
If Karen is going to... Does Karen need to come on in any particular week?
It is either going to be Larry Brown or Karen Myron.
You mean you couldn't book Joe Biden?
Well, I booked Karen and Neil booked Larry. So
Biden was supposed to be here today. Forgot.
Yep.
That sounds about right.
He's
got a little sleepy.
So he's in Fort Ware.
We just lost some listeners.
Yep. So, thanks everybody for listening in. Stay tuned next. We got Sports Talk with Bubba and Fee. We'll be back next week on Insight.
You get a new shirt.
We're out of here.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.